have your Bibles and turn to Colossians. Can I ask you a question? Not a theory question, practical question. Why did the Lord say, I want you to attend faithful local church? Why did the Lord Jesus, why did God the Father in this passage say, I'm going to send my son to die to wash away your sins? Notice Colossians 1 verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. So the Father in heaven said, I see that every man and woman on earth is a sinner. You'll notice that, but down in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the blood of Christ, even the forgiveness of sins. Well, that's the reason Jesus died, was to forgive us of our sins. Now notice in verse number 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. So do you see the importance of the cross of Christ that shed the blood of Christ that can wash away our sin? Therein the reason the cross is important. In the crucifixion, most of the time, every ounce of blood was shed. And God the Father used that blood to wash away our sin. It's the blood of Christ that washes away sin. That's why you and I can't do anything to get to heaven on our own. We need Jesus, because he is only one that has the perfect blood. Now, take your Bible and turn, if you would, keep your finger here, but turn to Acts, if you would. Turn to Acts chapter number 3. I want you to see this phrase. Acts chapter number 3. Notice verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, sent him to bless you. Bless you how? In turning away every one of you from his iniquities, that your sins could be washed away, that you could turn away from them. And notice what happened when he preached this gospel. The gospel is the good news. The good news is that Jesus came to die for your sin, and he shed his blood for you. But I want you to notice in verse number 1 of chapter 4, and as they spake unto the people, notice, the priest, captain of the temple, Sadducees, being come upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So the religious leaders were upset that they taught of Jesus Christ as the Redeemer. Well, you notice it didn't matter. Look in verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them, of the men, was about 5,000. This is in addition to the 3,000 that were saved in the previous chapter. So there have been 8,000 saved that heard this story. Now, I want to draw your attention to a couple things. Number one, you notice the thing all revolves around our sin. We've got to get rid of our sin. And he used the term forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness, original Greek word, aphemi, it's to release or to send away. So everybody in this room has got sin. I want you to notice, if you would, you don't have to turn there, but if I could give to you a passage of scripture, it would be in Romans chapter 1. You don't need to turn there, but there's all kinds of sin. Now, sin is a trespass. It is this. It literally is, look, God said, don't do this, and we did it. God said, don't do this, and we did it. It's almost like all of us in this room, whatever God says don't do, we do it anyway. It's our nature. Now, it started with Adam and Eve. The Lord said, look, this is a beautiful garden I made for you. It's the most beautiful garden on earth. You can eat of any fruit of the garden, but just don't eat of that one tree. It's almost like you're telling a kid, you can play with every toy in the nursery, but don't get that one. You know what he does? He looks at that one and says, wow, That's the best toy in the whole place. And he looks at it, and that's the one he wants to play with. Well, that's our nature. And so the second we do what God says not to do, so Eve goes over there and she takes of the tree. Now, how many of you know what kind of fruit was on that tree? What kind of fruit tree was it? Don't raise your hand. We don't know if it's an apple. It might have been an apple. That's what it's always been said. It's an apple. But we don't know that. It doesn't say in the scriptures. We could say it's an apple. We could say it's an orange. We could say it's a pear or a plum. We don't know what it was. But we know one. Maybe it was a watermelon. Now that would have been cool. But they took that. She took a bite out of it. Gave it to her husband. And he had a choice. God said no. That doesn't matter. I'll do it anyway. That is the definition of sin. If you were to go, Adam and Eve, they disobeyed. They sinned against the Lord. If you were to go to Moses, and you say, Moses is a great man, one time the Bible says, now, he was a sinner, we know that. But the Lord said, I don't want you to, anger resteth in the bosom of fools, Ecclesiastes 7:20. I want you to be careful of your anger and your temper. And so Moses was leading the children of Israel, and they said, look, we're thirsty, we want water. What did you bring us here for? What is God doing? And it made Moses angry for God's sake. So he strikes the rock and says, must I fetch water out of this rock for you? So he strikes the rock, and God says, Moses, I told you to speak to the rock. Moses goes, I'm sorry. Moses crossed the line. Now, he was kind of pushed into it, but he crossed the line. Every one of us makes our own choice. I remember being in high school, and they did have high schools when I was in school years ago. And I remember going into the restrooms and coming back out, and all the lockers' doors would be open. They'd be looking for drugs. And I can remember this different smells in the locker, in the restroom, where sometimes a guy going in and smoke marijuana or do whatever. And I went to a public school, about 3,000. And so, if anybody were to ever have offered me a joint, I had the choice to say no or yes. Now, I was a Christian. So the Lord had me, Pittman. He maybe knew I was weak. I don't know. But he said, I want you to take your Bible to school with you. I said, Lord, nobody in Richland High School carries a Bible. That's going to mark me, Lord. I want you to carry your Bible. So in a service, I was greatly convicted to take my Bible. So I took my Bible and I put my math, science, history book on top of it and carried it. And the Lord says, no. I want it on the outside. So I carried it on the outside and I'd see guys look at me. Walk right on by. Look at me. Walk right on by. Guess what? Nobody ever offered me. Nobody ever offered me drugs. No girls ever hit on me. That may have not been because of my Bible. It may have been because of my look. I don't know. But I don't care. At least one girl likes me. That's all I care about. Okay. So anyway, I wanted to make sure they knew I wanted to do what was right. But there were still times when I had a choice to do right, not do right, whether it was in my heart. That guy shouldn't have done that. I'd like to go punch him in the nose. Has anybody here ever thought about doing that? Now, wait a minute. Be honest with me. You thought about wanting to just punch somebody in the nose gently in Christian love. Let's just put it that way, okay? How many of you wanted to do that? Raise your hand. Or just something, just wanted to pay somebody back. Raise it up. Let me see it. It makes me feel better. Raise it up. Let me see it. Let me see it. Okay. Wow. Risha Gustafson. Woo. Wow. I'm going to tread more lightly around her. Wow. Unbelievable. Look, all of us are sinners. All of us, the Lord said, look, don't be a striker. Don't punch somebody in the nose. Pray for them. Lord, you know how hard that is? Oh, I forgot. Jesus is hanging on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them. He could have had Michael go down and punch him in the nose. Father, forgive him. What I'm trying to get you to understand is there's sin and we all have crossed the line. Thou shalt not lie. Ananias and Sapphira, what are they known for? Somebody tell me, what is Ananias and Sapphira known for? They gave lots of money to the church, but they did one thing and they're known for. What was it? You might tell me, teenagers, what are the Ananias and Sapphira known for? They lied. Anybody ever told something that wasn't all true? God says, thou shalt not lie. We do. That's written down against our name. Matthew 12, 36, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So everything's written down. It's got to be paid for. That's why Jesus came to pay our debt of sin. You read it in Colossians chapter 1. For the forgiveness of sin, Jesus Christ died for us. We come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm a sinner. Those 5,000 heard it and said, if Jesus died for us, then I'll ask him to forgive me of my sin. They believed in him. They said, Lord Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin? And their sin was washed away. That's the gospel. Everyone here needs the gospel. And if you have not yet said, look, I've crossed the line, you can't be saved. The first thing is you have to recognize you're a sinner. You may do a lot of good things, but you're still a sinner. If you had cancer, you might run 10 miles a day. You might eat all kinds of right foods. You might take all the proper vitamins there are, but you still got cancer. Yeah, but I'm gonna exercise and I'm gonna eat right and I'm gonna do all these things, but you still got cancer and it's not stopping. You have to address it, the cancer. Everybody in this room has got sin and you have to address it. And the way you address it is critical. There are a lot of different ways to address cancer. Well, you might have radiation. You might have chemotherapy. You might have just surgery. There are some people that believe in herbal medicines, and maybe that'll take care of it. All I'm trying to say to you, there are different choices that we can make, but there's only one choice to get rid of sin. Notice, read your original passage. Look in Colossians 1. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or made us sufficient, made it opportunity for us to be partakers of the inheritance of saints and the light. So God the Father has made it possible for you and I to be partakers of the inheritance of heaven. He's made it possible. If everybody in this room go to heaven, how? Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? He's delivered us from all of our sin. Watch this. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, if we ask the Lord to forgive us. Now watch what he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Who's the he? His son. God the Father's son. Now watch this, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I've never come to Jesus Christ and asked him personally, come into my heart and forgive me of my sin. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the gospel. We always want to present the gospel. It's the reason Christians are supposed to be different. Once you've stepped across the line, come to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me of my sin? Please forgive me. I want to go to heaven. And he blots away our sin. Forgiveness is granted to us. It's not granted to you because you sing in the choir. It's not granted to you because you play the violin, although she did it beautifully. It's not granted to us if you sing a song like Tiffany did. How many of you, I don't know that I could go to heaven if it required me to get up here and sing a song to you. I don't know if I could do that. Well, if I really think about it, before I went to hell, I could probably do it. But it would be terrible for you and for me. But the Lord said, look, there are people that lost their voice box. They can't sing. I don't want them to go to hell. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son to pay the debt. He's going to shed every drop of his blood. And it's for you. Because you're a sinner. Everybody in this room is a sinner. Everybody outside this room is a sinner. Now, you may not admit it, then you can't be saved. You have to come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And number two, I'm sorry for it. You have to confess it as sin. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. So we have to say, Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. Number two, I'm sorry for it. Would you forgive me? Then the Bible says he'll send away our sin. He'll give us the forgiveness of sin. Have you done that this morning? That's why Colossians chapter 1 was clearly stating that God the Father sent his Son that your sin could be sent away. Now, let me ask this question. For what purpose? So we can go to heaven. The Lord loves you. He wants you in heaven. But he wants you in heaven that he could say, thank you for living for me. So let's say today was the day you trusted Christ, or last month, or this year. And so you've trusted, we have some folks in this room that have been saved this year. So if you've been saved this year, the Lord Jesus saved you because he loved you and he wanted you in heaven. Look, if you would, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Notice what he says. He says this, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He made peace between you and God the Father. Jesus did. Now, without Jesus Christ, there's no peace between you and the Father because we're sinners. He can't even look on us. Do you remember when he's on the cross? Jesus Christ is on the cross. Between the hours of 12 noon and 3 o'clock, the Bible says the earth went dark, and the Bible says God the Father couldn't look on his Son. You don't know why? For God made him to be sin for us during that point in time. And God couldn't look at his own Son because he was sin for us. And then he died. And God raised him from the dead and said, now my Son shed his blood for you. And if you'll receive him, he'll forgive you. We'll forgive you of all your sin. It'll be sent away forever. And you're on your way to heaven, even though you're still a sinner. But your debt is paid. Now, why? Notice this. I'll give you peace in verse 20. But notice, if you would, in verse number 21. And you that were sometime alienated, you were not close to God. And enemies in your mind by wicked works, that's all of our sin. Notice this. Yet now if you're reconciled, he brought you back into fellowship with him. And notice this. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now watch this. He died to present us twice. One before the Father, perfect. Everybody that's trusted Christ as Savior, Jesus Christ wants to present you to his Father, and he will. It's settled. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, he says this, make us capable, notice this, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. And notice verse 13, who hath delivered us, past tense, from the power of darkness. You're not going to hell anymore. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, you're not going to hell anymore. You're on your way to heaven. It's settled. So when you die, you're going to step foot inside heaven, and God the Father is going to be presented with David Pittman, unblameable, irreproachable, perfect in the sight of the Father, not because of one thing I've done or not done, but only because of what Jesus Christ did for me, and I accepted it. He's going to present me blame. Now watch, look here, two presents. You'll write them down this morning. Notice verse number 22, to present you holy. I'm going to be presented holy. If you've trusted Christ to save you, you're going to be presented holy. Let's see, Brian, if you've trusted Christ, he's going to present Brian holy, irreprovable, perfect. Nathan, have you trusted Christ? Present him holy. Everybody in this room, that's the first present. Jesus Christ died for that. But he died for one more too. Look, if you would, in verse number 28, whom we preach, that's Jesus Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Wherefore, I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You know what he's saying? I'd like to present you holy in your heart. I'd like for you to try. I'll take care of all your sin. But from the day you get saved, from there forward, there's what's called fellowship. It's closeness. He said, I want you to work at being close to Christ. So when I present you, I can say, Father, this is Dave Pittman. From the day he got saved, he lived for me to present you holy. So he's going to present me when I step inside heaven, welcome home. But will he say to me, well done? You see, everybody in this room, you got a choice to trust Christ as Savior. You're going to heaven because you're born into the family of God. But after that, what is your life like? Notice what he says. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man. I want you to know, I want to warn you, you can still do things that are wrong. They're not right. But I want to warn you about those things. Don't lie anymore. Don't cheat anymore. Don't lust anymore. Give your thoughts to the Lord, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Lord, was that thought okay? Lord, when that guy ran me off the road and I wanted to punch him in the nose, was that okay? I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to love my enemies. I'm sorry I didn't. There's a fellowship there. And if there would be people that forgive their brothers and sisters in Christ, that would forgive their unsaved uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters and neighbors and people they work with, the gospel could go forward, because we are not forgiving people. We are not praying for people that are our enemies. And so the Lord says, wait a minute, Dave Pittman, straighten up. I want to present you, notice if you would, in verse number 28, that we may present you every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The word perfect is not sinless, it's mature. It's where I want to present you, where you're walking in me. You're doing what's right. Are we doing what's right? Every teenager can do what's right. How many of you, watch this, were in school? Let's see. Everybody here's probably went to school, okay? I think so. I don't think that. Anybody here go to a one-room schoolhouse? Anybody? That was before everybody's time. Okay. So then everybody went to school, all right? How many of you saw in school somebody cheat or try to cheat? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Let me see it. Everybody saw somebody cheat or try to cheat? Look here. Okay. All right. You had a choice. I'll tell you what, I can remember sometimes. I'm sitting there, there's somebody sitting there, and the old devil just, I don't know what it is, but it's a math test. And there's a math question, or it's a history test. And there's a name I just can't remember. What's that name? And all of a sudden, you know, I'm thinking, what's that name? And it, like, sometimes your eyes just want to go to that paper. Anybody ever done like that? You're not trying. It's just the old devil goes, boom. Oh, I didn't want to see that. Now I have a choice. I'm going to use that. That wasn't my answer. Oh, that was the right answer. There have been times I said, strike to it. I'm not using that answer because I didn't remember it. And the Lord says, thank you, son. And there are times when maybe I could have said, I'll write it down and tell him I'm sorry later. Anybody ever done that? I didn't do that I remember, but I could have done it. There's a lot of people, they do it on purpose. They cheat. But God can't present you mature in him. There are people in this room that maybe you've had it. You're looking around at other women or other men and you're married. You can't stand before the Lord perfect, mature in Christ. You go around and somebody mistreats you, you want to pay them back. You can't stand before the Lord perfect in Christ, mature. But he died to present you twice. One, holy in him. And that's got nothing to do with us once we've trusted him as Savior. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus is going to take care of us. Just like when I was born in the Pittman family, there was nothing I had to do to stay in the Pittman family. I couldn't get kicked out. Oh, I could have gotten kicked out, but I still kept the name. And the blood in my veins was still a Pittman. And the day you get saved, the blood in your veins is Jesus. All the debt's paid. Now, I don't want to bring disgrace to my father's name. I was thanking the Lord this morning for growing up in a Christian home. I know it didn't turn out well, but I love and appreciate my mother and father taking me to church so I could hear the gospel and walk down and trust Christ as Savior. That changed everything for me. Now, I had to look to the scriptures to get my example of how to live right, but I love my father and appreciate what he did for me when I was young. Look, everybody in this room, you have a choice to make. You've already crossed over the line. You've already sinned against God. Will you trust him as Savior? And number two, the Lord Jesus said, I don't want you to lie. I don't want you to cheat. I want you to love your mate. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to forgive your friends and enemies. I want you to forgive those that mistreat you. I want you to do what's right, what I've asked you to do. I want you to be a testimony for me, a light for me. Let your works shine. Works only shine if they're good ones. The Lord Jesus died for you. Let your work shine. I remember reading, and I usually try to give good examples, but this is an example that I want all of us to learn from. In the Old Testament, there was a man that did terrible to David. His name was Shimei. David's being run out of his kingdom by his own son. And David's going, and his mighty men are going, and this guy's on the other side of the river, on the other side of the valley, and he's cursing at him and throwing dust in the air and saying, you're getting what you deserve. And he's going crazy, lost his mind. And there have been people that are Christians that lose their temper. They don't do what's right. They mistreat others because they haven't surrendered everything of their sin to the Lord. And so I want to be mature. I want to be perfect. I want nothing in my hand when I stand before you. Hebrews 10 said, we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside blank weight. Does anybody know what that word in there in the blank is? Hebrews 12, 1. What is it? Lay aside what? Every sin. There's not one sin that you and I have the right to say, I'll give up everything, but I'm still going to keep my temper when I want it. Shimei wouldn't do that. So he was called before the king, and the king, David, said to his son, said, look, you've got Shimei and your congregation of people, said, you know, your country, he's an Israelite, so don't forget what he did, but, you know, give him a chance. So Solomon looked at him and said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You didn't do my dad right, and you haven't done right. But I'm going to let you build a house right here in Jerusalem. But if you go outside its area for any reason, you'll die. Oh, that's a great deal. So Dave Pittman, Lord, it's a great deal. You forgive me of all my sin. Oh, I'm very thankful for that, Lord. Okay, that's great. But Dave Pittman, I want you to mature in me. I want you to start doing what's right. No problem, Lord. But I got this one sin of temper. I'm going to hang on to it. Sooner or later, that one sin, and you can name it, it will ruin you. It'll ruin your testimony. It'll ruin your presentation before the Father. Dave Pittman did okay. Father, I don't want that. I want the Jesus Christ, my Savior, to say to his father, this is Dave Pittman, and he did his best for us, for me. He was perfect. He was mature in me. There was no sin in his hand that he accepted and said, I'll tolerate it. So Shimei is there, and he has some servants. Now, that time they had slaves. He had some slaves, and this slave, two of them ran off. And they crossed over the line of Jerusalem into another area. And he got so mad, he gets on his horse and he rides, he gets right to the line, didn't even think about it. Because anger can be a drug that we get so fired up that we can't think straight. We say things we don't mean. We are hurtful to people. We throw things. We do all kinds of things. We can if we lose our temper. And so all of a sudden he rides under, he grabs those two servants and he brings them back. And the word comes back to Solomon. Shimei went outside Jerusalem. Shimei's there. He says, nobody cares. It's been years since that statement was made. I can do what I want to do, and I'm not going to lose my servants. And all of a sudden, a knock on the door. It's the soldiers of Solomon. Hello? I don't want that look on your face when you see the Father. You're still going to heaven, but the disappointment. No, because it'll be too late to do what's right. It's not too late today. Every page of today and tomorrow is pure white. Only what you put on it will be there. Shimei lost his life because he didn't fix that one sin of anger that he was known for. He apologized for it, but he never fixed it. He apologized to David on his knees in sackcloth, but he didn't fix the sin. If you've got something in your heart that's a weakness, give it to the Lord this morning so he can present you perfect, mature in him. All of us are sinful, even after we get saved, but we can say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. Give me strength, and we can grow through it so we build ourselves up so that temper is put down and not allowed to show its ugly face. That lie is put down, not allowed to show its ugly face. Today, are you saved in Christ? Number two, are you sanctified in the Holy Spirit? Have you yielded everything in your hands? Lord, I don't want to be like Shimei. I want to see your face and rejoice. I did my best. Folks, that's what I want for everybody in this room. As your pastor, I'm a shepherd. I'm supposed to lead sheep. I know there are people that go stray off, and sheep do that. But I want to come after you and say, look, that's not the way. I want you to understand anger and bitterness and lying and lustfulness is not the way. Give it to Christ this morning. Maybe you know somebody that's in your family and you need to come pray for them. Lord, please, spare their life. I have people in my family. I pray, Lord, bring them back to you. I have people in my family, Lord, save them. Maybe the Holy Spirit burdens your heart. Put others first so the Lord Jesus is pleased with you. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer today. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. The Lord Jesus is going to present you twice. One, as a child of his. Debts paid. On your way to heaven. Are you ready for that? Have you trusted Christ as Savior? We had people in our church who were saved at 80 years old, 75 years old. You can trust Christ as Savior. Maybe you're 6 years old. You can trust Christ as Savior. But you got to come personally to the God of heaven. It's not to me. I can't help you. All I can do is be there with you, hold your hand as you pray to the Lord in heaven, put my arm around you and say, Lord, bless Mr. So-and-so as he prays his prayer to you. Would you hear him? If you've never trusted Christ, do it today. If you've trusted Christ but you had a bad week, tell the Lord, I'm sorry. Don't close your hand on one sin so that you can stand before him, mature in him. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. In your name we pray. Amen.